Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
So look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Yeah,
we got it.
There it is.
Look at this. Okay. Some people are in their feelings tonight. Some people are in their feelings.
Never a doubt.
About this game. Yeah. they're upset. I think firing X, Joe Mazzulla, top of the agenda, according to the chat right now. Top of the agenda.
Really? Right before the playoffs? Get him out of here?
Get him out of here for that. Oh, my God.
How's that in-season firing working in Milwaukee? How's that working?
Headline.
There you go. Good coach.
Headline of the game is what, Jimmy? Very simply?
X-Man saves the day.
We could go with X-Man saves the day. We could go with X-Man coronation.
Oh, I like that.
But we can
X marks the spot, somebody says in the chat. That's a good one.
That is a good one. If you want to go negative, as Bobby did in the thing, it's stay ready crew, not ready.
Narrator, they weren't ready.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Joe Mazzulla put the stay ready crew in. Narrator, they weren't ready.
Yeah. That's your lead.
Yeah. We got people in my mentions saying fire Joe. We got Gelso in here firing up the chat. The problem with this game
Gelso
is
also sparking the fire right now.
I think his expectations might be a little high on what we're going to do. There's literally nothing to talk. This game is impossible to talk about.
It's Friday night. We don't even have to talk about the game, John. This game is impossible to talk about.
Ho hum. Yeah. It was a fun experiment, right? You know,
yeah.
Joe pulls the starters.
A lot of lessons were learned.
And there was no walk of shame tonight when there should have been. You know, in a regular game, there's a walk of shame here, okay? Mm-hmm. Bench couldn't hold it down. They go back, heads down. Sorry, guys. Starters have to come back in after they were laughing and yucking it up on the bench. You know, up 21 points with 6 minutes left, and then they just went cold. Didn't let a field goal. And, you know, that's – you got to wonder what's going through the minds of the Stay Ready crew here, right? Because they got to be like – part of them wants to be like, we're going to do this. The other part's going to be like
– don't screw this up.
How? You know, like somebody going to help me here?
Right. Just looking over to the bench, waiting for the subs to come up to the table.
Dude, my God. I have one nightmare game. When I was my freshman year, I was playing junior varsity baseball, and I came in on relief as a pitcher. I just couldn't find the strike zone. We were up by like 15 runs, so it didn't matter. And the coach was like, I'm just going to let him work his way through it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just walked.
He has one to throw three strikes at some point.
After the next, and I just kept looking over. I'm like, come get me, man. You know, and you're wondering at a certain point, the bench was feeling that tonight.
Oh, they were looking over. They started to look over, I think. Last year of the game, butt cheeks clenched. Yeah, they were.
Answer the lieutenant's question. They couldn't get there. They couldn't get there tonight, but they
Joe
did.
Exactly. Joe did not flinch. This was stubborn Joe at work today.
I love it.
I do too. And even if they would have lost this game,
it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
The only reason they could lose out. Nothing matters. So it's like it's easy for him to just say, "Yeah, we're gonna win or lose this game with you guys."
But the thing about this game, though, guys, is that I expect more games like this in this last week and a half of the season because almost every team they're playing, for the most part, has something to gain by winning, and Sacramento, they want to be in the playoffs. They don't want to be in a playing game. So to me, I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't play better at the start of the game, to be honest with you. I thought they would play better because they had – and the Celtics, they're just trying to make sure that no one gets hurt. That's literally all they need to do at this point. Just play, crack a sweat, nobody gets hurt. And, you know, there's so many things in this game that just were odd. I mean, the fact that Sacramento didn't play with a greater sense of urgency in the beginning, the fact that Sam Hauser could not make a shot.
Yeah,
he did make one shot, Sherrod.
The fact that Luke Cornett was probably
he missed 17.
Yeah. The other funny thing is that probably didn't get talked about is that Kristaps Porzingis probably realized like 3 minutes before the third quarter started that he had to take a shit. And like, that's probably why he was late to the bench.
Yeah. A pretty neat meal.
Everyone's like, is Kristaps done for the night? And he's sitting there laughing on the bench. He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna get, he gets in like 1 minute, 90 seconds into it. So the
he
whole
went, he went was... fettuccine Alfredo before the game. He just can't do that.
Can't do that.
The old Michael Scott move.
Yep. Carbo loading.
Rabies won. Rabies won tonight.
So yeah. Yeah, so the whole thing was, the whole game was ridiculous. And you're right, Sacramento should have come. It was just bizarre. I mean, Celtics had 6 points at that first TV timeout with, you know, 5 minutes and 40-something seconds. They're on pace for like 30 points, the high, two highest-scoring teams in the league. The shots start falling. But again, classic arms reach game for the Celtics. They're without a couple players. Sacramento's without a couple players. Celtics have nothing to play for. Sacramento has quite a bit to play for. That play-in might be tougher than – I mean, that nobody wants to be part of that play-in situation. And they're right on that bubble. And so, you know, they're playing their asses off. Stay ready, crews in there. And again, win or lose, nothing really mattered. Bench gets some experience. They get battle-tested. And you know what? You found a new go-to guy in the clutch. Down one, forget Tatum. X-Man. That's it.
Sorry,
give it to the X-Man.
He's your fourth center.
He's your fourth center.
Oh, that's going to be the tournament next year, baby.
Oh, center.
He's this guy, you know, he gets traded to the team. Nobody knows what he can do, but he just keeps plugging, John.
He just does. What do you want from him?
What do you want? He's athletic. He can play all five positions. He can defend. And he's there when you need him.
He's your fourth center.
He's your fourth center.
Speaking of, we got to figure out, is there a championship?
There is. There's a little bit more. We'll get into that. We got Bobby and Joe Sway down there. We'll see what happens with that situation.
I will did steal this.
Oh, what do you got?
I stole this. This I did see. So shout out Taylor.
Nice job, Taylor. He's your fourth center, John. What do you want?
That's awesome.
That's so good.
Dr. Quinn in the building.
Dr. Quinn, host of the Celtics Lab podcast, a terrific podcast that you should be checking out on the CLNS Media Network. Those guys bring it every week. Yeah, man, we don't deserve Bobby. You're right. There is no report without Bobby.
Speaking of Bobby, Hauser looked like Thanasis Manning out there tonight. Oh, my God. I think Jay King would have beat Hauser.
Look at this line.
Wow. Yeah, that's Thanasis.
That might be the worst. That's probably the worst game Sam has ever played in the NBA.
Probably?
In the world,
probably,
ever.
Sure.
Maybe
there,
ever.
There
maybe
are
ever.
Many NBA players ever who have had a worse game than this.
This is like my
I
team.
I think Tatum was.
My sixth grade girls. Like
Tatum,
you know,
shot this once.
Stat
but, like,
lines of some girls who are like 2 for 24 in a game. You know, like right. This was pretty bad.
It was. Yeah.
That's like Joe Sway at the bar numbers. 1 for 18.
Yeah, but you only need one, right?
If
you
get just hey, one. Hey, that's right. That's all you need. But you got to keep shooting.
It's funny. I think this is payback for the excessive Hauser love we gave, you know, from the 11-3 night where he should have broken the record and twisted his ankle all the way to coming back and, you know, going those, you know, couple of games where he's hitting 7 and 8 and 5. But, oh, my
damn,
God.
This is just
– I can't stop looking at this.
Yeah,
line.
It's like a train wreck.
There has to be a typo.
It's like that car on the side of the road.
Mama doesn't make
fire.
Typos.
No, he doesn't. Oh my just goodness!
1 for 18.
Gracious.
That's a miss every 2 minutes. Basically, he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna miss one here."
We talked about what happened. Celtics hang on to win after being outscored 21-3 over the final 6:06 of the game. Joe Mazzulla and a small person at the podium. Presumably his son, talking about the kind of fun, stressful environment of this game. Producer boy.
This is fun. This is awesome. Couldn't simulate a better environment of stress,
definitely
pressure.
His son.
chaos. It's like a perfect environment to execute. So, you know, that's why when those guys are in, you hold them to the same standard you hold everybody else to. So I thought they did a great job just making plays. And there's no reason to call a timeout there, because when Peyton got the ball in bounds, he created an advantage, and they were double teaming every time. And so we were gonna get a better shot. And that it was they were in a fix it situation the entire possession. So that allowed us to get a good look. It allowed us to get offensive rebounds because they couldn't find us. We were off their body. So I thought it was a perfect environment for practice.
What does that do for you guys? What does that do for them, you know, to be able to pull out that victory in, you know, the last minute there?
I mean, all those guys have played a significant role in winning games the entire season. And when guys have been injured, they've stepped up. Everybody on that floor has started a game for us this year, I think. Or have played, significant minutes. And so it's just a testament to them. And whoever's on the floor, I always feel like we have a chance to win.
There we go. Fine.
Yeah.
You think Joe's on better behavior having his boy up there?
Yes.
He's not going to call. I think he was probably in his mind. He's like, it's Bobby. I should be snide. You know, I should.
If they lost, I don't think his kid's up there. Let's put it that way. Chance. Maybe some choice words.
I'm putting this up for three reasons. One, I like being told I'm right every once in a while. It's not usually a thing I see in the chat. The super chat, thank you very much. For anybody who does contribute, this goes to the hosts. We appreciate it. For anybody who wants to make a contribution here, it helps us continue bringing you this free content. And three, the point being, this is kind of what it is with the bench and what we've been saying all year. They play with three starters all the time. A lot of bench guys don't. If you put these Hauser and Pritchard on different teams, you wonder, like, some people might think, well, they'd get more of an opportunity. They'd play. Maybe.
They get more exposed.
If you get put up into the number two or three option on the floor at any given time, it's a challenge, right?
It is.
And look, Pritchard did well for himself here and as best he could. Late in the game there, going against Sacramento starters when he was the only viable create-your-own-shot guy, it's really hard sailing, but that's also asking a lot from him. I thought he was solid tonight. Hauser, just one of those nights, man. That's it. You know, like, I don't think this was a matter of, like, being exposed or too many expectations necessarily. He just was ice cold. There's nothing you could do about it. I mean, he started. He played with the starters.
Right.
He just couldn't hit a friggin' thing.
Right, but when you're with the starters versus coming off the bench, and, you know, it's just a different role and a different mentality, and you're treated differently by the defense. I mean, when you're with that first group, you're dealing with their best players from the jump. And when you're coming off the bench, you may or may not be dealing with them. But to your point, John, even if you're dealing with one of their better players, you got three starters out there with you typically. So the tension you're going to get is not going to be as intense as it was in a game like this. But that being said, he missed a lot of shots he normally makes. So,
yeah.
Oh, damn. Why you gotta come up with a bit of wash for him? Minor ID 85. Damn.
Joke proving.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, though. I go live.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have kids? No, I'm producer boy.
Do you have pets?
I'm producer boy.
John is. Yeah. I coined him that last show. Where were you, Amit? You should have been paying attention last show.
Like, Amit's doing everything out there, so I don't think that's necessarily fair. But what I will say, what we said, maybe this is fair, maybe this is not fair. We're bringing this back. Amit, which one's up right now?
What?
Which one's up? Final four bracket.
It's you got Tang Wade versus Luke Simmons-Gris, I thought.
What are we voting on right now, Amit? I don't know.
He's not paying attention. Somebody in the chat can tell us.
Yeah, guys, what's in there?
I thought we already did the votes on both of these.
No, we are splitting. It's what, because the finals are Sunday. So we are half and halving it again. We're in the final four. And we're gonna put it up here one more time to give a chance here. He's your third center versus Blame Pie going up right now in the Hermann Gomez region. Yeah. He's your third center as a league. If Blame Pie is if that's your thing, you got about another 15 minutes to let it be known. We're gonna keep this thing up there till about the 30
minute
mark.
Doesn't have a chance.
Blame Pie has been a real underdog. Wow, they've done well.
I don't know how it got to this.
I don't know how they got here.
But he's your third center. Is on
Bad Girls and Farts My Dog means people don't like Jimmy. to beat to basically Jimmy's losing right now is what
well,
it is.
Well, I'm basically he's your third center, John, so you can suck it.
Fair enough, but it's a Bobby it's a Bobby centric joke. But you're right, you own that one. The delivery is the key. But he's your third center is
Sad Girls.
Right
that
now.
was a really good one, Sad Girls. But I don't know if enough people caught on to it enough.
He's your third center is South Carolina. They're a wagon right now. Okay.
Totally. Oh, no, they're NC State.
Yeah. Check this out, Jimmy. That's correct.
Ooh.
Wow, Blorp, after all we've been through.
Shots fired.
Blorp, I voted for you, man.
Yeah, I did.
And that's what I get. I agree. Parts of my dog should have won the whole thing.
Yeah, third center might be running away with it, but you can absolutely head out there and vote. We've got another, little bit here where this will continue on. It's been a fun tournament. He's your third center, might be romping. It's a lot tighter in the other region, in the Kevin Jelly region. So that one's going to come up in a little bit here as well. Back to the game. X-Man, outside of that game-winning shot, which, you know what's interesting about it is Tillman came in late to provide stability during that while they were choking it up there. So
provide
he was
readiness.
Like, I'm not putting the starters in. I'm putting the X-Man back in. That's what Joe did. That was his move, and it paid off. But he had a good game otherwise, doing lots of different things, I thought.
Yeah, and they need that. They're going to need him at some point in the playoffs. It may only be for 5 minutes, it could be for a game, but they're going to need him to provide, not necessarily what he did tonight, but just be impactful. Whether it's rebounding, keeping balls alive, knocking down game-winning shots, whatever the hell it may be, just make your presence felt. And he did a really good job of that when they absolutely needed it. So,
Louise, yeah. It absolutely is your fault.
Your fault.
I put you in the tournament, and you just no-showed for like 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
You think like Biden or Trump aren't going to show up and vote this year? Like,
yeah, you're in the race.
You got to at least vote for yourself here. I like
exactly.
What Tillman gives them.
Cast
like
the ballot, smile for the camera, yeah. Walk off, you know? Right. Yeah, Louise, I'm sorry. It's okay. Louise, 10-0 without Jaylen Brown, by the way.
Ooh.
Oh, you had to
see you had to bring that one up. Damn
I'm
it.
Sorry.
You
got that off camera.
I missed her. Anyway,
I mean, I'll follow what Sherrod says. I liked the trade when it happened. I think that he's a guy that you'll see next year with an even bigger role. He's kind of lumbering a little bit. I feel like maybe it's
he looks
just
hurt.
Maybe it's just that I'm only watching YouTube highlight reels, but I thought that I would have seen him a little bit more athletic than what I've seen him out there. But I still like what he provides. I like the physicality. I like that he can defend multiple positions like that. And, are they going to use him in the playoffs? Hell if I know. I mean, ideally, probably you don't see him too often. But they traded for him as a fail safe, right? Like this was like break if like there's an emergency situation, smash this button and Tillman might be able to keep you afloat. So knock on wood, that situation doesn't arrive. They've made it this far. They haven't any catastrophic injuries. Again, I'm knocking on wood. So you might not see Tillman a ton this playoff series. But they made the trade in case something may have gone astray on the way to the playoffs. So I like that he can come in spurts and you know, defend and give you, you know, spell a guy maybe, give him a few minutes, give him a breather if it's a physical game. Other than that, you know, I don't expect to see him, like, obviously in a situation where he's going to be hitting game-winning shots.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. And you know, someone put this up. I mean, who didn't get toasted by Fox? Yeah, Deflategate. I like that. We talked about third center merchandise for sure. Putting this comment up as well.
I'm going to text Nick.
I've mentioned this before as again, you're looking at things right now. I definitely think the Celtics can run into teams that are athletic and will give them some troubles there. And I do agree that, you know, Brown is the obvious plus athlete. I'm not going to say the only one, but he might be, you know, the separator between the rest of them. This is something that, you know, we can definitely, you'll keep an eye on. You know the type of teams that bother the Celtics. Long, athletic, for sure. And sometimes, you know, depending on the personnel out there, it's more prevalent than others. Their starting lineup is so good and so long and so professional that it doesn't really matter. Guys, I gotta take about a 30-second powder here. So carry it, okay? I'll be right back.
All right, Sherrod.
Jimmy wasn't ready for it.
I'm ready for it. What do you mean? Sherrod's muted, I think.
Oh, I did. I muted him. It was a lot of background noise. I got you, buddy. You do it.
There we go.
All right. Sherrod, you were at the game tonight.
Yep, still here.
We talked about Hauser for the wrong reasons. What stood out to you? You know, I mean, I would say maybe in the first half. Porzingis got things started.
Yeah. I thought the guy was Pritchard. I mean, I just his control and command of the game I thought was really important as they started to separate themselves a little bit from the Kings. Because I just didn't think the Kings played with great force or great sense of urgency, and I didn't think the Celtics did either early on, and which is understandable. I mean, they got the best record in the NBA. They're not only that, but they're going to finish the season with one of the 10 best single-season records in franchise history. There's literally nothing of significant value for them to be playing for in this game. And yet there they were, Pritchard specifically, playing with a kind of urgency that you need to win a game like this. I thought he was on his way to having like a 30-point game the way he was knocking down shots early on. And then when things got a little dicey, I understand why Joe didn't, you know, bring his guys back in at the very end, because Pritchard at that point had earned a right to carry them to the finish line. And he tried, and he just couldn't. Sam couldn't make shots. Pritchard was getting too deep in the paint, getting himself swatted out. And no one was really taking the bull by the horns to carry this thing to the finish line other than X when it mattered most. And even he had some hiccups during the fourth quarter. But when it mattered most, he came through. So.
Yeah, and it's been either Pritchard or Hauser as the guy that's kind of shined off that bench as of late. And I mean, obviously it's been like that throughout the course of the season, but I think we've talked about it on previous shows recently. It feels like these guys have like arrived to the capacity that in some cases, probably more so than we thought, you know, at this stages of their career, early stages of their career, to the point where you're not like shaking your head, like no, when they walk to the scorer's table to check into the game, you know what I mean? Like they are part of the rotation. And again, this is a bad night to be talking about Hauser being in the rotation, but you can go back to last week and the week prior, and he was practically going to break the record for a 3-pointer. So, you know, this was a night where I can guarantee you that if it's a playoff game, Hauser's not shooting 1 of 18. He's not getting 18 looks, right? But it's a game where he can try to shoot himself out of a slump without any issues. And I'm sure Joe told him that, like, just keep shooting. It was probably a joke at the end. You know, I'm sure they probably laughed it off. But you still got to depend on guys like Hauser and Pritchard. Love what Pritchard's been giving them. Just the energy, the hustle off the bench. Never giving up on plays. Fighting for rebounds. Always has a chip on his. He's a guy that the rest of his career is just always going to have a chip on his shoulder. And that's how he honestly has to play, because he's not, John, we talked about it. He's not going to win on talent. He's not going to win on, obviously, size. He's going to win by playing harder than the other guys out in the court. And that's how he's gotten to this far in the NBA. And that's honestly how he's going to keep going. So the playoffs, everyone's intensity ramps up. So it might be a little bit less noticeable, because I think Pritchard goes balls to the walls when other guys just simply aren't in the regular season. And in the playoffs, that's probably not the case as much, but he's still going to have an effect out there.
All the balls to the walls. It's great. Again, nothing. I said it earlier, no complaint about anything about Pritchard, who was great. And he was getting hassled and doubled and harassed late in the game there in that last 5-minute stretch. So I don't think there was a ton he could do. And Hauser, just cold as can be. For anyone concerned about where I just went right now, my daughter was at the Celtics game. She just got dropped off. I had to make sure that she was good getting back in the house.
She almost saw
L. She was there. She was hanging out. Yeah, but because it got close, they stayed till the very, very end. So they're just getting home now. It's bedtime. Soccer season starts tomorrow. We got game one in the morning, so she's gotta get to bed there. Anything else off of this, guys? I don't really know. You know, too many directions to take it. It just was one of those games. I don't know where else to go. I can unmute Sherrod and see if he has a solution
on this game. I mean, I don't have a lot of places to go with it either.
Maybe
we'll wait for Luke talk for when Bobby gets here.
We had a good Luke stretch, really great Luke stretch.
It was. It may have one of his better stretches we've seen all season. And then poof, clock struck midnight. Bye bye, Luke.
What happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
He just disappeared. I mean, like, I don't think it was a matter of anything other than that. He just wasn't positioning himself to be as impactful as he was during that stretch.
He's your third center. Yeah.
Sometimes
third centers go away.
Yeah. And then you get your fourth center.
Yeah. It's amazing. Nothing has mattered for like 2 months. It's freaking unbelievable. Nothing. The only thing that matters is, again, what I will say is, you know, one thing that matters, I know we talked about elsewhere, Philly sneaking out, Philly potentially sneaking out of that 7-8 wouldn't be terrible. Indiana comes up with a win tonight. You know, I know we talked about this, and I know it's been talked about on the show when Embiid came back. I definitely think you don't want to play Philly, and not because Philly's going to beat you. And again, because this is where people lose perspective on these things. Like, if we say Philly's a bad matchup, that doesn't mean they're going to beat the Celtics. That means your typical 1-8, you're going to win 95% of the time. Historically, I think it's 94%, 5 out of 80 since they went to 16 teams or something like that. So if Philly has a 15 to 20% chance, that's a bad matchup, you know, whatever you put it at. That's all. That's not great for a 1-8. That's a team you'd want to be playing in a conference finals, whatever. It's not a great matchup. I don't think you want it. There's something to be said about getting them early before Embiid gets back into shape, but I'm not going to, guys, I think that's wishful thinking too. He's going to be in shape. This is a perfect amount of ramp up time to get into decent shape. He's not getting into much, much better shape than this, obviously a little bit, but like, it's not coming back with a week to go. This is a pretty good ramp up. It's about a month. It's going to be okay. So it's not awesome. It's not awesome. It is what you want. I think you want the Heat. I think you want Indiana. I definitely don't think you want Philly here.
Well, the way I think this is going to play out is that Philly is going to be one of the best number six seeds that we've seen in a while. And they could easily beat Cleveland.
But they're the eight right now.
Yeah. They're the eight now. But when all said and done, I believe they're going to rise up to six. And if they are able to do that, you're looking at them having to go through Cleveland and Milwaukee to get to the conference finals. And if you're the Celtics, that's a best case scenario situation if you get to the finals. And Philly, after having gone through a Cleveland and a Milwaukee, they're going to be beat, battered, and bruised big time. So that, to me, that's the perfect storm. That's the perfect scenario. I don't think Philly is going to be in the playing game. I just think that Joel Embiid is too talented to carry that team beyond that. And they're going to find a way to get that sixth spot.
I think I agree that they can and will. And I think if memory serves, they don't have a very tough schedule here. So I think they could play their way out of it. But yeah, it's definitely not great.
We talked about it, I think, last show. You're getting a guy back in Embiid who has the capabilities of being the best player in the league. Literally,
and you don't fear anybody. But yes,
you don't want to go six. If you can avoid going six, you want to avoid going six. If you can avoid, banging around down low with, one of the best bigs in the league, then of course you want to avoid that. Philly has talent on that roster.
You guys will love this. Philly, it's not that they have a weak schedule. They have the weakest schedule.
The weakest.
In the NBA.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
They've got Detroit, San Antonio, Memphis, Brooklyn, and Orlando. Orlando's the best team they're going to face the rest of the way. That's it. They could eat. It would not be a stretch that they run the table.
Yeah.
Not a stretch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No doubt.
They'll wind up in the sixth.
And Oubre's playing. Maxey's been great. Oubre's playing well. It's not an awesome matchup. Again, I think they play their way out of it, and I think you have a much easier time with whichever one of those other teams you end up with. Even the PTSD of playing a Miami squad, I think the Celtics are
considerably better this year and really have Miami's number. I don't think any of the bullshit Spolstra's going to be able to try here is going to make much of an impact. Talked about, again, the way this game ended tonight. Most saw it, for those who maybe kind of were watching some of it, tuned in late, saw the score and said, what? Celtics blew a 21. No, they were up 21. Got outscored, I think, 21-3 down the stretch. Win 101-100. On a putback, on a rebound, offensive rebound, and put back there by the X-Man. Joe Mazzulla had the stay ready crew in from the midway point of the fourth all the way through. They couldn't get a bucket for about 5:40 or something like that, and they won by a single point. But they loved it. Joe loved it. Peyton Pritchard loved it.
Enjoyed it. I mean, they had something they were fighting for. I know, our seating's pretty locked up, but, every opportunity we have, every game we have, I don't like losing. I don't think anybody likes losing, so we're trying to win. And obviously we're working on things, but winning is the biggest priority always.
And Porzingis talks about, team chemistry, where, the regulars are on the sideline. You guys are fighting to win this game now. It's a tight game. They're out there cheering for you guys, and you guys are out there executing. What's that dynamic like?
It just shows that, everybody's bought in, just because they ain't playing, they're bought into helping us win from the sidelines, cheering, and it just shows the chemistry of this team.
Shows the chemistry. It's good. I think the bench was enjoying it, win or lose. I don't think anybody's walking in there off of that. It's much better vibes when you get the win there. But I don't think – I think people were like, all right, guys, go get it. You can do it. And I do think that was a good little, chemistry boost there for those guys. Tell people quickly about our sponsor here. Of course, Prize Picks, number one daily fantasy platform in America, and more than 3 million members. Easy, exciting way. Get in on the action. Pick more or less 2 player stats. That's it. Watch the winnings roll in. We're out of March, but you've got a ton of stuff to get into here with both men's and women's college basketball. You can get in on the action here 100 times. You went up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. Of course, you've got the NBA playoffs as well. Hockey coming up, ton of different things. And again, as I said, you're just picking players and you're picking more or less. And that's all you have to do. And if you want to take advantage of this bonus, download the app today. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. It's that easy. Download the app. Use the code CLNS. It's right there on the screen. Do you have a code? Yes. CLNS.
Nice.
First deposit match up to 100. You put 100, you get 100, and that's it. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Head over to Prize Picks and sign up today to get in on the action. Speaking of action,
you're a winner right off the bat. You get a match right off the bat.
Speaking of action, we have a lot of it going on right now because we have our March Madness tournament still in play, and right now we're switching things over. Okay, I think it's over. Blame even the he's your third center, put the stay ready crew in, and they still walked all over Blame Pie. I think that one's it. So we're over into the Kevin Jelly region. Last chance to vote. You got Tangwade versus Luke's Lemon Squares. And
that's a true 1-2 right now. That's a true one versus two matchup. So yeah. I'm torn on that one. I really loved when you got Tangwade happened the first time. And I would have loved for that to stick around, but due to promo advertising reasons, we can't keep playing it. But it will live on. It will still live on. The idea will live on.
It's a fun one. But you
I
can
think
vote.
We should cut a Tangwade cut from just just to cut.
Yes.
Make a bad take.
Yes.
Yeah. Go Celtics. Dish Rod.
No, we don't have one.
Jimmy G.
I thought we had one. But anyway, so vote on that. It's in the chat. Both YouTube channels. You can jump back and forth between the two. Also, take this opportunity to say subscribe to the channels if you haven't already. Give them a like. Do lots of things. It's all good for us. We do appreciate it.
Subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe again.
When you do. So, I mean, I'm so bored. Not bored, but there's so little to look at going down the stretch here. What are we looking at right now? We're looking at what's left.
Looking at a lot of Xavier Tillman.
We know we have Portland.
What's left?
Milwaukee, which is in hell right now. And then who knows what, you know?
We're going to get Thanasis Manning. Are we going to get the Thanasis himself next week?
He might be the starting lineup.
He might be at this point, man.
Oh, gosh.
Charlotte and Washington to end the year. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's pain.
That is
pain. Well, we get Grant Williams' return, though.
Exactly. We get the Grant payback game. Get the video ready.
Grant will say something. Grant will have one or two. Like, we're gonna have two talking points about Grant for our show. Something from the court and something from like a pregame or postgame interview that will catch.
Yeah, I just hope the
Washington game is gonna be pain. That's gonna be a playoff preview, John. We're not talking about the game. We're talking about the playoff. We should maybe we'll have it down to a better idea of who they're gonna be. We still have to play in game though. So we still won't know who they're playing.
We will not know. And there's a lot we don't know. We don't know who is – I mean, it's so interesting here because we're talking about Philly a little bit, and we'll bring in Bobby Manning and let him get a – you know, discuss the game a little bit. But, I mean, if you're looking in the playoffs here, your second round – I mean, who knows what you're getting here, but you've got some teams that are a freaking mess right now. The Knicks are toast. And we know that, you know, Orlando, I don't know if they're serious or not. And you know, what they want to be when they grow up. I'm not sure they're ready yet.
No,
you know, Pacers again, they could be in a play in for sure. I mean, Philly might be the toughest first or second toughest team in the entire East for the Celtics right now. I mean, is that seem ridiculous? Miami's a mess. I mean, Milwaukee's a mess. I'm going to walk that one back a little. Like, I always thought, like, there's a flip, like a switch to flip, and or, you know, like, they haven't been super serious either. First of all, Doc's making every excuse imaginable, you know, outside of blaming
the trainer himself. Under the bus. Are they equipment?
The trainer and the staff professional when we go on the road, and like, people aren't serious. Like, Doc's doing that shit that people don't like, which is taking shots.
Yeah, publicly. Everybody gets the finger.
Everyone behind the scenes, they're a mess. So, Bobby, I don't know. We'll get into a little playoff stuff in a little bit, but like, Doc is throwing everyone. Like you said,
what he does.
He's not throwing everybody under the bus. He's literally blaming the bus driver. He's blaming everybody he possibly can. We'll get to that in a minute, Bobby. Give us some takes on this game. You're down there. And in the locker room and talking to these guys.
Yeah, it was interesting watching the fourth. Obviously, it looked like it could get away, and it did when they lost the lead right before the buzzer there, the final shot Tillman hit. So, that would have been interesting, right? I don't know where we would have sat and what we would have thought of that. It wouldn't have meant a ton, right, if they actually went and blew it, but it would have been a risk that didn't quite pay off for Joe. And in the end, it ends up being a good story. You know, everyone's going to write the "he believed in them and they came through" story, but it was ugly. 21-1. The offense was a mess. They couldn't get into anything really. And defensively, Fox just kept going by guys. And listen, I think we're all fine with the starters staying on the bench there. It's that time of year. They need the rest. And this game effectively means nothing there. But the stay ready crew wasn't very ready down the stretch there. So that was tough. But overall, I think a good game. Got into some zone in the third. Things slipped up a little bit there, and they got themselves right. I thought Porzingis, again, awesome game from him. It's great to see him looking healthy and like himself going into the postseason. I thought Drew Holiday was really good down the stretch of the game, passing the ball with more on-ball opportunities. So all in all, I think pretty good. And I think the big thing right now, John, is they're trying everything. Any look defensively you can go to, any lineup you can go to that used every double big combination pretty much this whole game. So this is the kind of stuff you're doing this time of year, and you have time here to do this. I don't think anyone's going to play Sunday, so these guys better get ready to win another game.
Yeah.
What's up, Joe Sway?
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Oh, okay, just making sure you heard me. It's like, damn.
What you mean just making sure? I thought you were saying hi to me, Jimmy. Damn it.
I was.
Fake nice to being fake nice.
I was. I said, what's up? But it took you like a minute to respond. I was like getting nervous that you didn't hear me.
I had to unmute my mic. But yeah, no, I just listened to what Bobby had to say. And yeah, I don't think anyone would have been happy to see starters come back in and have to clean up that mess. This was a great opportunity for those guys. I mean, this is that time of the year, like Bobby just said. And I feel like this is the, like, you can't discredit the Sacramento Kings, man. Like, that's a thing. Like, Bobby, we talked about this before the game on our hit, sponsored by Prize Picks, about how they make comebacks. Like, that's what they've been doing all year. I know the record isn't as pretty, you know, compared to the rest of the Western Conference. I mean, clearly they're trying to, they got playoff implications coming into this one. So this one mattered a lot to them. And I think the Boston Celtics, you know, Joe Mazzulla and the coaching staff, they knew that. And they thought that this was a great challenge. I honestly think, because we know Joe, you know, the way he's been all year long, like, I don't think he would have had it any other way for this team to come out the way it did and play out the way it did, rather. And for them to lose that big lead and then have to hit the game winner at the end, Tillman with the comeback on a second chance opportunity, Sam Hauser going ice cold, but that didn't deter his confidence from shooting. He eventually connected on one and spoke to Peyton Pritchard after this game, and he says that, man, he's probably going to go 10 for 10 in the next two games, because that's the kind of that's what the law of averages say, and that's something we obviously saw earlier this year before he unfortunately went down with an injury. But yeah, I thought this was a great test for the second unit, and especially guys like Peyton Pritchard.
Facts, my dog.
Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, damn it, Jimmy. I knew that was
coming. I was waiting for Bobby to chime in because, listen, me, Sherrod, and John, we've already said everything about this game. So I want to hear from Bobby and Joseph.
Yeah, we'll hear from you guys lead it here. All right, Bobby, let's go.
40 minutes X-Man. In. What's going on, guys?
This isn't.
Yeah, dude,
this
game isn't, was fucking tough, man.
Bobby, we gave Lucas Flowers for a really good run there in that second quarter. What'd you think of X-Man tonight? Not just the game winner, but just his overall play.
Yeah, I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, he looks like he's getting comfortable out there. I think the three in the corner looks good, even though it's not going down defensively.
First one fell,
couple
but
tough
yeah.
moments going against Fox on the other side.
Fox, you didn't
expect that going against a guy like that. So he's been capable defensively, and he's given them stuff on that end. And offensively, he's looking for his spot to contribute, and he can knock down that floater around the rim. That wasn't a crazy shot by his standards there. He's capable of that, and he drove into it, and that's actually, I think, emblematic of how they could start using him a little bit more on that end. He's not the best post-up center. He doesn't have a ton of moves he can get to down there, and you're really not going to use him in that way, especially in double big looks. He's not a three-point shooter. So I think you want to get him that running start toward the basket. He's done it a couple times over the last week or two here where he's left a million miles between himself and the basket on the perimeter, and he just sort of takes that space and drives and tosses up a nice floater, and he does have good touch on that. So I think that shot, even though it came after a really bad run and was pretty random in itself with Hauser tipping out his own miss, I think it was emblematic of where he can find his shot. Just be a threat out there, because you have to be a threat. If he's going to play in the playoffs, he can't be a guy that teams ignore, because that's just destructive to an offense. And that's why I've given Luke the edge over him the whole way, is that Luke can be a threat out there in a variety of ways offensively. Xavier's a little tougher, especially when he is playing that four position. So the three's got to start going down. He's got to get into that floater, driving hooks, you know, whatever he can do out there to just be a threat, get to the free throw line, grab offensive boards. I know he's been an amazing defender in his time here for the most part, but I think on this team, you have to play both ways. On a championship run, you have to play both ways to be able to get out there. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think we kind of all agree there. Like, Luke, Cornette, I'm not going to say break glass, you know, in case of emergency, but
they're definitely going to play sparingly, matchup driven, when the situation calls for it, when the game calls for whatever it is that they have. But I don't know what you're going to see out of those guys, you know, there. But I'm going to say the people in the Stay Ready crew now, I think the Stay Ready crew has shrunk to about two people, and it's probably Luke and Tillman in terms of what you're going to expect in the playoffs. And that's probably all you need there.
No belief in Brissett?
No. I think Brissett's a foul trouble guy. You know, he might find his way into a game or two. He's He's definitely not part of their plans, but I don't think so at all. Real quick, we want to tell people, actually, you know what?
Oh, he's got a hat too. Look at that.
I got the hat too. Okay. About PXG.
Toss it
another another sponsor here at the Garden Report on top of this.
Yeah, give him a second, Jimmy. He's got to read.
Well, let's see what it looks like. Let's see what it looks like on that on the dome.
I will. But again, PXG on a mission to create the most high quality, high performance golf clubs in the game. But they're bringing the same passion for excellence to their new line of apparel. You guys got them, Bobby. You got them. Those shirts are sweet. Got these new golf polos. Awesome, Josue as well. All these awesome hats. If I still golfed and if I didn't give up because I'm a baby, I would love it. But instead, I'm just going to wear them around and look cool. They have everything, pants, polos, sweaters, hats, quarter zips, joggers, jackets. It's not just for the golf course. It can be, but you can also just wear them out and wear them around in great, comfortable, casual wear. Really high-end stuff. Elevate your style game on and off the course. PXG's spring and summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/garden. Use that code garden. Check out. Save 10% on all apparel. It's a pretty good deal for some really high quality stuff. So if you are in the market and you're loading up on your golf apparel for the year, the PXG stuff is great. I went over to the store here in Framingham and checked it out. It's awesome. So again, really, really, really cool stuff. Check out PXG and use that code garden to save 10% on all apparel. Guys, where do you want to go next? Dealer's choice.
I like how I walked in on that conversation. If we can revisit that, that'd be good.
How about Drew?
Huh? What about him? He was awesome.
I really liked this game tonight. Yeah, I thought he made some phenomenal passes. Yeah, and they ran some great sets in that third quarter. There was a play where Tatum dove off ball around a Porzingis screen, and he found him. There's another play where they sort of set it up similarly, and Porzingis got downhill out of it, and Holiday found him again. And then that three Porzingis hit that basically broke the game open there was Holiday's seventh assist in, I think, three quarters. So he's capable on the ball, and we haven't seen it much this year, but he's able to make some great passes out of that point position. And he just hasn't gotten the opportunity much this year. And I know Tatum's going to have the ball and White and Brown and all the way down the line, so there isn't much left for him. But I think it's something you have to get to a little bit, maybe in a lineup, maybe into a second unit. Because he's dynamic out there with the ball in his hands. He makes some great passes. And there is a little bit of the Marcus there where he'll make an awesome pass and then he'll just throw the ball into like a crowd of guys and lose it. So I think that's probably a little bit why they lean less on that compared to some of the other ball handlers out there. But you know, with Tatum's issues at times and Brown turning the ball over at different points, it's something you need to be able to get to in spots, I think.
Yeah, he keeps things moving too. We're not spending time on it because it's a throwaway game, but Tatum sucked tonight. He was such a ball stopper. I hated everything that he did. And Holiday, on a couple of occasions, tried to get him the ball closer to the basket and to get him moving. He almost willed it to happen. So I thought that that was good. The other thing that's interesting about Holiday to me, again, on a night where you don't have Derek White and Jaylen Brown, both of whom are, you know, shot creators for this offense. You know, certainly Brown, but even White taking things in his own hands. This could have been a Holiday throwback game where he's like, you know what? And there was a period of time he was out there. He was the only guy who had any chance of generating offense. And it shows even in little flashes what he can do. I would say every made field goal was something that he made on his own. You know, whether it's driving to the left, it's such an interesting weapon that he's got where he can just hit these lefty leaners and floaters off the glass. I know he's more comfortable going there, but his ability to do that, he's in the post. And then just a couple times step back three above the break, not even in the corner where he's hitting 60%. And he's knocking those things down. A baseline fadeaway as well was among those five field goals. It's just he's got that in his bag. It's so, you know, it was a good, you know, Bobby, you shared that profile by Miron Fader in the Ringer just about the kind of sacrifice and what's going through this year. I would say, you know, we joked about like guys talking about sacrificing who didn't really sacrifice all that much. Holiday has sacrificed a crap ton to immensely. Be able to put himself maybe in a position.
Yeah, maybe as much as more than anybody in the league. And
yeah, as much as anybody in the league in a contract year with no hint of bitterness, resentment, concern, ego, nothing at all. He's great. I think he's been. I know people have kind of, some people are in and out on him. Some people might even think like, is he getting old because you're not seeing like big explosions in 27
point
games?
Yeah, I think it's opportunity and usage. Yeah. And
he's been consistently good you make of, all year long. Yeah.
Right. What'd you make of his defense? What do you think of his defense tonight?
I think it's great. Every night.
Out
I
mean, the ordinary. Yeah.
Fox is difficult. I mean, what are you going to do there?
Yeah, I was gonna
say,
held
man,
Fox,
for a good quarter and a half.
Cooking. I mean, that's the thing, man. When this trade went down, and a lot of Celtics fans were so, you know, obviously excited because it happened after the Porzingis deal. Obviously, Celtics were going into a direction where, you know, they were going all in, they're putting all their chips into the game. How many times are people like, oh, Marcus is gone? There's Drew. Drew's the lockdown guy. He's just as good or even better than Marcus. But we forget how he's a bit older now. I'm not saying he's over the hill completely, but let's face it here. He's not the same defender that won a championship a few years ago. So I just think when nights like this happen, it's a nice reminder of, I don't know, maybe the Tyrese Maxeys or, you know, the guards that could be in the Celtics' playoff path to the finals. And if they have nights like that, it puts the Celtics in a tough spot. I mean, this has happened throughout the season where one of the opposing guards goes off, you know, in a comeback game like this one, and the Celtics all of a sudden they don't know how to stop the bleeding. I saw a little bit of that, especially with the starters in there when he went off right before halftime in that second quarter.
Yeah, and they do need to get him back on bigs. I feel,
but
like
he's not used as that guy though, Josue. He's not the guy you're just putting on that guy and saying stick him. He's there,
right? No, I get it, but I just feel like
able to switch to quarterback the defense. Yeah,
right. I just feel like opposing teams, like they're gonna try to explore those matchups. You know what I mean? Like I just feel like in the playoffs when things get slower and you know a guard is going off, you know, and the Celtics trying to slow them down. I don't think it's always Drew that's that guy. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, there's been. Yeah, there's
White,
been
White gets cooked here. Too, and White's in line for top. I'm sorry, Jimmy, but White's first or second team all defense. He's not keeping those guys in front of him either.
Yeah, he does a better job, so he'll get those assignments. But I think when push comes to shove and you're playing the smaller lineup, he's going to be guarding bigger guys as he did to start the year. Embiid, Giannis, you saw him guard all those guys as well as Bam in the opening weeks of the season and do an amazing job with it.
He does, Jimmy, what were you saying?
No, I mean, I was just going to say, we've always said, you know, great offense beats great defense. Drew's going to do everything he can to limit guys, and great communicator out there. I trust him on both sides of the court to make the right decision, but he's had trouble with some of the shiftier guards and the guys that are a little bit quicker. Why?
Because he's
going
to tell us.
He might have some choice words for us on the radio.
Right.
He's going to blame Sherrod.
That's how the whole thing started.
Sherrod dirty. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, shift to your guards. Yeah.
But his physicality, he can defend bigger guys a lot better than most guards can. And I mean, I still trust him out there guarding the best guys in the league. But yeah, to your point, Josue, there are going to be those quick, I guess maybe quick's a better word, some really quick guards that sometimes can get past him. And again, that's what he does.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, Fox, you're talking about top three quickness in terms right. of for guards. So it's right. you almost and plus Jimmy, the other thing too about this game that I think we can't overlook is the fact that they literally had nothing to play for, and the Joe called off the troops way earlier than he normally would in a game. I mean, they were at what, 12-14 when he decided that, yeah, we're just going to let, the Stay Ready crew do their thing. And
that contrast,
that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in the playoffs.
In the fourth quarter, watching a third unit play against a playoff team fighting for positioning, it was,
you're gonna
it
get
was
cooked.
Crazy. You don't see that.
You're gonna get cooked. No.
You don't.
No. So they were, they were doomed to get cooked at that point, because Sacramento, they smelled blood, and they needed this game way more than the Celtics did, because they don't want that play-in game smoke. They don't. So
no, they don't.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be there. The West is crazy.
They're going to be in a play-in game. Yeah, and they just don't look like a team that has figured out how to close out, and they don't play with a sense of urgency. I mean, they just was kind of sleepwalking. It felt like the first half of this game.
Oh yeah, Celtics first quarter change.
They killed themselves here. Yeah. They're in deep trouble. So I don't know. We'll see.
Says a lot about
the
Celtics though. Holding a team like that to 100, they've done some great things defensively over the last week or two here, and it's been impressive. I think they're doing the perfect thing here in terms of gaining momentum into the playoffs, which is going to be difficult because they'll probably have a week off in that play-in stretch there. But also resting guys and getting the recovery they want. Were you satisfied with Joe's answer on Jalen pregame, John?
I mean, I don't know. Not really.
He basically said what you said. He's fine.
Downplayed it, yeah.
I mean,
that's what I said.
He has no reason to be fully transparent about the whole thing. Let's be honest here, because like you just said, I mean, the playoffs are still a couple weeks away, and whatever he's dealing with could get exponentially better in the next couple of weeks. So I just think whether it was complete truth or not, I mean, that's sort of what you're going to get. That's the kind of response you're going to get from Joe or most head coaches.
I asked him if there's any chance they'll put him on ice the rest of the way, and he said no, so he should be back. This is probably just a one-off rest night, but it's weird that he's saying – Jalen saying strain, something he's going to have to manage down the stretch here. And Joe multiple times now has said he's fine. So I don't know. Like John said, he might just be fine. And maybe it's just something that's impacting him more mentally than anything else, the pain or whatever he's dealing with there.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns on that. Like, I believe that, it's bothering him. So I believe he's sincere in that, but I believe it's been diagnosed as not a thing that is a concern. So, Jalen throwing, strain or sprain, meaning like, they told me nothing, but it's obviously something. And so it doesn't matter.
They listed it as a strain, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. A strain means literally nothing, but it's fine. It's fine. It hurts. Right. It doesn't seem like it's a real thing. I'm not even.
No, they said sprain, not sprain.
They did?
Yeah.
So now they're saying sprain?
Yes.
That's what the injury report said. That's what the Celtics injury report said.
All right. What's going on?
Now his antennas are up.
PA announcer in the background. All right. So we're going to wrap it again. Get your votes in.
Rowdy crew.
Get your votes in if you guys want them on the bracket. We are running out of time there. Other than that, the finals are on Sunday, and we have another game on Sunday, and we'll be back for that. Guys, closing thoughts before we wrap it here? We'll let everybody go watch the fourth quarter of Iowa-UConn.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Closing thoughts, I'm glad Hauser got this game off his
out of his system.
Yeah, everyone needs a Thanasis Manning night, and this was his.
Everyone needs a little Thanasis Manning in their life, Jimmy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they need just one night of it. Just get it out.
So. Oh boy, that's my final give me thought. More the
second unit crew, man. Get these guys going.
You want more after that?
I want more, yeah. Especially I guess the Blazers, Jimmy. Why not? I mean, Sunday we're talking about, right? So yeah, give me more rest for Pritchard, Hauser. Maybe he's good for 4 or 5 three-pointers. We'll see what Prize Pick says. But, more of the same, honestly. I thought this was a great test for these guys, for the whole team. and then in that fourth quarter for the second unit. So carry that momentum into the next one, you know. And yeah, let's see if they can defend better as well. Like that's what's going to matter most in the playoffs for sure. I think the offense and all that, that's going to come naturally. Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard. I'm not worried about those guys' offense. I just want to see if this team can defend at a higher level, especially the second unit.
More X.
Why don't we play this?
Bobby's got a shout out. Hold on. Bobby's got a shout out.
Shout out to
the Maine Celtics who are heading to the East Finals. Big win last night, 18-16 for Kata.
That's not what I thought was coming.
Kata, Walsh got in the game tonight. JD Davison came back. I have a feeling. I think we're going to see Kata grab that 15th spot by the end of the year. He had a great season up here, finishing it strong down there. He hit a hook shot from like the free throw line last night up there. I think he had 18-16. So I think Kata, last day of the season.
Hook shot's coming back.
He gets paid for a day.
He's going to get that one-day payday and playoff.
That's eligibility. A payday, a literal payday.
That's going to put him in another tax bracket. What do you mean?
What do you make that day? Do we know?
What are we talking? Minimum's like 2 million. So it's like 182nd out of 2 million.
Yeah.
All right. That's still a decent.
And Bobby, what will he be? What will he be, Jimmy, when he arrives?
He's your fifth center.
You had to put the five.
I think we're talking a good 25K. Forget about X.
Okay.
The center bullpen. He runs
that's
it.
Like one Amit night at the club.
Oh, wow. First, Joe Sway was winning for 18 at the club, and now you got Amit shots. Wow.
Yeah. Yikes.
Damn. Yeah,
Joe Sway missed what? You missed a shot that we somebody took at you at the beginning of the show.
You were deemed Sam Hauser level of effective at the bars. We'll go one for 18.
One for 18.
What's that got to do with me? Wait, hold on. Yeah. Why is it one for 18? How did that?
Hauser went one for 18 tonight, and I said that's like Joe Sway.
I represent Hauser
at the bar. I said that's Joe Sway number.
Yes. Oh wow, that's you, Joe Sway.
Wow,
Sherrod backing it up.
I'm backing up what he said. I'm not agreeing with him. I'm simply asserting that that's what he said.
Oh,
that was said.
I would have said Joe Sway maybe one for eight.
One for 18, dude. But as John pointed out, all it takes is one.
All it takes is one, and you're successful. This was a successful show on a night that there was next to nothing to talk about because there's nothing to talk about. But the Celtics hang on and win 61-16. They have a 14 game lead.
That's wild.
On the Bucks now, who just lost again. Who lost again? Because the ice cubes in the locker room were round instead of square, and that's why they lost tonight, okay?
They're going to lose round one.
And it was – the Gatorade was blue instead of yellow. And
bad Wi-Fi. Bad Wi-Fi in arena. There's bad Wi-Fi in arena, so that was a factor too, clearly.
Couldn't get
go watch some women's college basketball.
What's the score, you know?
51 apiece.
Oh, entering the fourth quarter. Also,
damn, someone's been watching this whole time.
It on this channel. Bobby and Joe Sway will be back in a little bit. They're going to do a live after-hours Garden Report from the court, talking it through some of the details, the nitty-gritty of the game. And, yes, no Giannis tonight. That is what happened. But great game going on, college basketball. Check it out. But subscribe. Turn on your notifications. Bobby and Joe Sway are going to be back with more basketball talk in a little bit. We are going to see you on Sunday. Thank you guys for hanging out again. We're almost there, family. We're almost there. Playoffs are almost there. It's almost time to matter. It doesn't yet, but it's almost time. We will.
You guys matter to me.
You guys matter. We'll see you on Sunday.
Wait, Amit's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.